The topic of this morning's sermon was a new birth. If we are faithful to the end of our life after we have a new birth, we will go to heaven. That is a great and glorious thing. If you would, take your Bibles and open them to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke, the 16th chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through 13. Luke 16, 1 through 13. Now he being Jesus, said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man, which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and he said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said unto himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said to the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust servant, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the righteous mammon, who will commit you to your trust in the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is among men's, another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. We see here that man's idea of just and God's idea of just are two different things. We put stock in riches. Oftentimes, rich people think they can buy anything and everything. They get in trouble. They think the right dollar's in the right place, they get out of trouble. They want a big fancy house or a big fancy car, it can give them. And I have a feeling that there are going to be some on Judgment Day that try to tempt God and Christ with riches. And they're just going to laugh it off. Because God and Christ have no need for money or mammon. The Bible in our observation reveals two classes of people in the world, the righteous and the wicked. The Bible also reveals two destinations for these. The righteous heaven, the wicked hell. We know the story of the rich man and Lazarus and how one was in torment and one was in Abraham's bosom in heaven. There are scriptural names for heaven. The New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, 2. Revelation 21, 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21, 2. You know, the church is called the bride of Christ. But unless the church is pure and unspotted and undefiled, what good is it? Most people don't want a bride that has been defiled and corrupted. Heaven is also called the city of God. Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come upon Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 12:22. You know, I've often thought about heaven and all the faithful being there and dwelling together and singing praises to God and just being loved by God and being there, but also the angels will be there as well. You know, it's also, heaven is also called paradise. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2:7. You know, just the words paradise sounds great. Sounds inviting. Someplace you want to go. You know, for those of you who have been missing our Friday night Bible classes, we talked about that the other night, about how the thieves were hanging on the crosses on both sides of Jesus. And the one thief asked Jesus to remember him, and he said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." And I said, think about how comforting a statement that will be. You know, when we get to judgment and we hear the words, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant," I may have to do a little dance, victory dance then, because I'm going home. I'll be there with all the other faithful brothers and sisters of Christ for all of eternity, and I won't have to worry about anything ever again. Heaven is also called our Father's house. John 14:1-6. John 14:1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:1-6. This is why we have to be baptized. Because when we're baptized, we put on Christ. And it says right here in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to him but by the Father. You know, heaven is a habitation of God. This is where God lives. God dwells there in his glory. Revelation 21:3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation 21:3. You know, it's great every day of our lives to think that God is our God. We have the one true and living God. There are many people out there that are deceiving themselves and telling themselves false lies that their God is a true God, but is not. We have the one true and living God. Also in heaven, Christ is going to be there, sitting on the right-hand side of God. We might as well get ready for that. That's going to be his place, is on the right-hand side of God. Mark 14:62. Mark 14:62. And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Mark 14:62. You know, we talked here just a few weeks ago about those words, I am. You know, when Moses stood before the burning bush, God said, I am sent you. And we had a debate on what I am stands for. The Greek translation is, I exist. Jesus exists. There are people out there that say Jesus doesn't exist, but he does exist. It says right here, and Jesus said, I am. And he says, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. The right hand of power is God. God created everything that we can see, everything we can touch, everything that we know exists because of God. Luke 22:69. Luke 22:69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Luke 22:69. Once again, it confirms where Jesus is going to be sitting. Christ is going to be on the right hand of God. There's going to be other inhabitants there. There are going to be angels there. We just talked about. The spirits of the redeemed are going to be there. You know, there are faithful members of my family that are passed on that I know one day if I'm faithful, I'll see again in heaven. And I'll be able to spend all of eternity with them. Now let's talk about heaven as a state. What kind of state is heaven? There's no sin there. Sin converted this earth into a region of woe. The sin that is in this earth is what causes the pain and agony that's in this world. And there's not going to be any sin in heaven. We won't have to worry about it. Another state of heaven is there's going to be no more pain and no more suffering. The older I get, the more I ache. The more I notice my joints hurt a little more. There's days that every one of us have fevers or stomach aches or just some kind of trouble. And there's not going to be any more of this once we get to heaven. Revelation 21:4 talks about this. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. We won't have to worry about any of those things anymore. You know, I've often wondered how that there won't be any crying in heaven. Because I wonder what it's going to be like when I get there and I think somebody that I knew and loved that I thought was going to end up there didn't end up there. How that's going to affect us. But like I said a while ago, if I'm in heaven, I'm probably still going to be doing a little victory dance and be so happy that there won't be any tears. The state of heaven is there's no death there, no separation. That's what death is separation. When Adam and Eve committed the first sin in the Garden of Eden, what did it do? It separated them from God. They had death. He said, "You shall surely die." And it was because of the separation. But you know, we can die twice if we're not careful. We die this physical body. Everyone on the face of this earth is going to experience a physical death sometime in their life. But if we're good and faithful Christians, that's only going to be the only death that we have to endure. But if we lived a sick and wicked and sinful life, we will experience a second death, the separation from God. I've said before, this to me would be the worst thing that could ever happen. Not to know the love of God anymore. To be separated from that. You know, the state, heaven's going to be a state of blissful perfection. We don't know perfection down here. Everything that we know has some kind of flaw to it, some way or another. Heaven's going to be a state where love only rules. That right there should be enough to encourage everyone to strive to get to heaven. Because if love only rules in heaven, then what's Hades going to be like? It's going to be the other thing ruling down there, and it's sure not going to be love. Heaven, all may go to heaven if they desire and do what is commanded of God. It is the destiny of the faithful. Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. You know, I quote this or use this scripture quite often in the plan of salvation. And Revelation 2:10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prisons, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2:10. All we have to do is be faithful to the end. It's not mean we're going to be perfect. We're going to slip up. We're going to make mistakes. That's where repentance comes in. You know, all may go to heaven, but it's whosoever will are invited. Luke 14:17. "And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. Luke 14:17. Most of you that know this account knows that the servants went to giving excuses. One said, I bought some oxen. I pray they have me excused. Another said, I bought a piece of land. Have me excused. And another one said, I've just got a wife. Please excuse me. And I think on Judgment Day, there are going to be many people stand before the judgment seat of God giving excuses. But the excuses are not going to cut it. Only the righteous will go and dwell in heaven. 2 Peter 3:13. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. 2 Peter 3:13. Only the righteous are going to make it to heaven. Some people say that heaven and hell don't exist, but they do. Heaven is a real place, a literal place. 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. So there is a heaven, and there's, just because somebody says it's not there, it's not going to make it true. That is the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:50. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does incorruptible inherit incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15:50. This body cannot enter into heaven. This body's going to be left here. It's going to decay. It's going to go back to the same state that it was when God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. But how do we become this way to enter the kingdom of God? I stated that this morning in a new birth, Galatians 3:27. Baptized into Christ, having put on Christ. This is the way we get into the kingdom of God. Everyone desires for a better country. Hebrews 11:16. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11:16. Most of you know that Hebrews 11th chapter is called the faith chapter. Talks about the faithful people in the Old Testament that have already died, that never saw the promise fulfilled. They only had the faith that salvation one day would be here. Also, heaven's beauty is indescribable. 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. You know, when I was thinking about this, Someone can go out and eat the best meal they've ever eaten in their life. And they can come back and try to describe it to you, but it's not going to come close to what really they felt until that person experiences it. We know what Jesus said. We know what the apostles said about heaven. But until we get there and experience it, we cannot even begin to comprehend the greatness of heaven. You know, they talk about mansions and streets of gold. I figure the only reason that Jesus referred to it as that way was so that the people here on earth would have a desire to go to heaven because they want to see them streets of gold and be in those mansions. But I've stated before, for me it'll be enough just to get into heaven. As long as I got a little place over in the corner to curl up in, I'll be happy. Another thing is heaven will last forever. Forever and ever 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 and ever. I can't say enough ever. And we as humans have trouble comprehending all of eternity. Because everything we know will has a beginning and an end, even the earth. But heaven will last forever. Matthew 25:46. Matthew 25:46. And here it's talking about righteous into eternal life. Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25:46. This tells us right here we have a choice. We can either go into everlasting punishment or we can go into life eternal. The choice is ours. No one can make it for us. The gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Now how did I say we got into Jesus? Galatians 3:26. We are baptized into Christ. We will ever be with the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. If you listen to our radio program this morning in Wendell Fox, he talked about premillennialism and how that so many people have this wrong. When Jesus comes again, that's it. It's over. He's not going to come and take some one time and then some another time. Going to be a one-time deal. And we better be ready. Are you a member of the Lord's church? If you're not, you'll never be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Never, ever. If you're not a faithful member of the Lord's church, then you cannot enter into heaven, because only the righteous are going to be there. The plan of salvation is you must hear the gospel. Mark 16:15. You must believe the gospel. Mark 16:16. Repent of all of your sins. Luke 13:3. Confess Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Be baptized, and I'm already emphasizing this, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mark 16:15-16. And be faithful to the end of your life. Galatians 6:9. If you do these things, guess what? You're going to make it to heaven. You may get to do that victory dance once you get in there. Because it's going to be a great and glorious thing when we get to heaven. I hope and pray that every one of us makes it there, because won't it be a glad thing to have all of eternity, to love one another, to be loved by God, to praise God, to sing praises unto Him, and spend all of eternity being loved by God. If we can help you any way spiritually this evening, please come as we stand and as we sing.